The story I have in mind is of boyhood, or rather childhood experiences, and is concerned with the deaths and the funerals of two Eastbourne people. My personal recollections and thoughts take me back to the First World War, and particularly with 1916, 17 and 18. No doubt some of you will remember those years, and for those who do not go back quite that far, or have not been in Eastbourne a number of years, most will know or have read about Lord Kitchener's last journey, when an attempt was made to reach Russia on board HMS Hampshire for strategic war consultations with that country. The boat was sunk by the Germans with the loss of all lives on the 5th of June 1916. Often when the story of that disaster is retold in newspapers or glossy magazines, it is usually accompanied by a photograph, the last taken of Lord Kitchener, showing him on the windswept deck of the Hampshire, and he is accompanied by just one other person, his aide-de-camp. This other man is Lieutenant Colonel Oswald Arthur Gerald Fitzgerald, of the 18th King George Own Lancers. He was the eldest son of Colonel Charles Fitzgerald, and that family had lived at number 61 Carlisle Road, Eastbourne. Very few bodies of those lost on the Hampshire were recovered and identified, and these were washed up on the Orkneys. The first thing the natives of the Orkneys did on recovering a body was to remove all clothing and thus reduce the possibility of identification. Kitchener was not found, but Oswald Fitzgerald was, and identified. Whilst the family had by that time left Carlisle Road, Oswald's body was brought to Eastbourne and accorded a full military funeral, his father having been buried at Eastbourne, which was but military followed, but not apparently in the grave of his father. Along with many other people, I went to see this impressive procession, which included the band of the 15th Battalion, King's Royal Rifle Corps, and the band of Summerdown Convalescent Hospital Camp. And I stood at a vantage point on the high pavement in Willingdon Road, opposite the cemetery. The cemetery was kept closed to the public, but I must have stood around to see the procession return, as I remember the terrific rifle salute by a firing party of 300 men and buglers of the 16th Battalion, King's Royal Rifle Corps, and the bands playing bright tunes on their return in contrast to the solemn music played when going to the cemetery. But now I go back a little further in time. I was but 8 years of age when I witnessed the Oswald Fitzgerald event, but only a little over 4 years when Parade Inspector Arthur Walls was murdered whilst in the execution of his duty on the 9th of October 1912. This sad death was brought about by a burglar named John Williams, who was on the top of a portico in Southcliffe Avenue and, on being requested by the inspector to descend, fired two shots at him, which resulted in his death. Williams was some days later arrested, and although evidence of his identity was not forthcoming, the circumstantial evidence was such as to lead the jury to convict him of the offence. In spite of appeals both to the Court of Criminal Appeal and to the Home Secretary, he was executed. Now to the funeral of Inspector Walls. The funeral service was at the Church of All Souls, and the funeral procession to Ockling Cemetery was accompanied by three bands, the Band of Hastings Police, the Salvation Army Band, and the Eastbourne Post Office Band. I have seen a photo or two of this impressive procession making its way through the town, but of this I have no personal recollection. However, I was later involved. The funeral was on a Wednesday afternoon, and being early closing day, many thousands were able to witness the scene, including my father, and he took me as young as I was. Apparently, we went into the cemetery. So did many others. I have just one recollection of this. It was of my father grabbing my hand and saying, "Run, Jack, run," and of us both making our rapid way out of the cemetery without regard to roadways or paths. My particular memory was putting a foot through a glass wreath, which then were more numerous in cemeteries than today. That particular incident did not appear to leave any impressionable memory upon me, and I do not recollect the matter being referred to at home. But now I jump 26 years, or thereabouts, into the late 30s, at a time when I had with me in the office on seasonal work Charles Montague Wood, who for many years had been superintendent at Ockland Cemetery. In conversation with him one day, I spoke of my recollection of the funeral of Oswald Fitzgerald. Monty Wood commented, "That was the day we closed the cemetery because of what happened at the funeral of Inspector Walls, when the crowds in the cemetery stampeded and much damage was done. It was then, after all those years, that the penny dropped and I realized I had been in the cemetery stampede and contributed to the damage. I have recently looked up the local press of that time, and it seems that the stampede was caused by a sudden downpour of rain, just as the service in the cemetery was coming to an end. I just go back again to Oswald Fitzgerald. I was recently asked by the borough surveyor, and this happens from time to time, to suggest a street name for a development due to take place in Silverdale Road on the site of number 61, then being demolished. Among the four names I put forward, all with local history associations, I included Fitzgerald. That is the name the council has chosen for the cul-de-sac development not far from Oswald Fitzgerald's old home. He was greatly honoured in death. The King and the French government were represented at the funeral. The service in the church and the last rites in the cemetery were conducted by the Bishop of Chichester. Commander Kitchener, nephew of Lord Kitchener, laid a wreath on the grave. He died at the age of 40, presumably unmarried. The cemetery register records the place of death as "In the ocean off the Orkneys." The grave memorial tell us he was drowned by the sinking of HMS Hampshire. The family having apparently left Eastbourne before the tragic loss, his grave and memorial records no further burial, but the sorrowing family have inscribed, "Give rest, O Christ, to thy servant with thy saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting, faithful unto death."